This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, ESPN's latest move has conservatives yelling foul. Sports commentator and football all-star Craig James is here to explain in just a moment. And we'll take another look at the nation hitting the $20 trillion debt mark for the first time last week. CNS News Editor-in-Chief Terry Jeffrey joins me for that discussion. Also, Speaker, award-winning author, and president of CrossExamine.org, Dr. Frank Turek, is here to talk about Truth Conference 2017. And we'll be taking your phone calls as well here on Tony Perkins. You can check out TonyPerkins.com, but this is Washington Watch. And if you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. Hey, by the way, if you're on the website, this is coming up, Values Voters Summit. This is the premier conservative event for social conservatives, October 13th through the 15th. Actually, it's all types of conservatives. In Washington, D.C., October 13th through the 15th. It's going to be great. Another great lineup. Check it out. Values Voters Summit. Go to TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. All right. ESPN anchor blasted Trump, our president, in a series of tweets on Monday night. Jemele Hill said that Donald Trump is a white supremacist. Now, is there a double standard with the media? Liberals can say what they want. Conservatives are silenced. You know, this is, we've focused normally on issues happening on Capitol Hill. But today, the news is not necessarily what's happening on Capitol Hill, but what's being said about the president. Now, Jemele Hill called President Trump a white supremacist in a, as I mentioned, in a Twitter rant on Monday. The network said in a statement, Hill's comments do not represent the position of ESPN. And it appears ESPN will take no further action. Now, go back to last April when former All-Star pitcher turned analyst Curt Schilling posted on Facebook lampooning those pushing for these gender-confused bathrooms in North Carolina. Well, ESPN not only issued a similar statement as they did in Hill's case, but they fired Schilling. Joining us now is Craig James, former New England Patriots player and ESPN/ABC announcer, also was previously with Fox. Craig, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, how are you doing?
Man, it's good. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys that's been in the firing lane. I have been fired for my belief system as a conservative guy, and I know over the years we've covered this here on Washington Watch, but, you know, you just, as a conservative, I don't know how, after 20-plus years of being in a number one-rated seat on ESPN, ABC, and or CBS, I don't know how a conservative guy like me today would have survived this environment.
Well, let me give the listeners, if they're new, and we've picked up a lot of new listeners since you previously served as a guest host of Washington Watch. But ESPN is not alone in their bias. Fox Sports fired our good friend here, who had not only been a long-standing commentator, but a retired all-star football player, not for something he said on the air or in a tweet, but in a speech 18 months prior to them hiring him when he was a candidate for the United States Senate in Texas. Mr. James, is there a double standard?
Absolutely. And, you know, and what's happened here, and I saw it coming on towards the end of my broadcasting career, the internet has provided this platform for a lack of civility. It's given the faceless guy the brave voice. Now he can go to the internet and he can really attack a conservative. I would not have made it today. Obviously Fox fired me because I had a conservative biblical opinion of marriage, a definition
but let me stop you there, Craig. You didn't say those things on the air.
Very true. Well, all the more odd. I mean, they pulled it out of the hat 18 months later when I did go on the air with Fox Sports. And so it's just, it's an unfortunate situation that happened. It's happening more and more. And there has to, at some point, where do we seek relief from this? Well, is it going to be that more people stand up and speak on behalf of the conservatives? I don't know, because the truth is, Tony, it's right now this media world is controlled by Google, Facebook, Twitter, and Apple, and they are censoring guys who have a conservative voice and belief system. And if they don't like what you are delivering to their places, they'll just drop you.
Well, Craig James, let me tell our listeners a little bit about what was tweeted on Monday night. It's about a dozen tweets that Jamel fired out. And many of them probably may not be aware of it. I'm not a big sports fan, so I don't track this stuff. But let me just give you a taste of it, folks. Donald Trump is a white supremacist who has largely surrounded himself with other white supremacists. That was one tweet. In another tweet, she called the president a bigot. Then in another, Trump is the most ignorant, offensive president in my lifetime. I mean, she's got to be more than a year old, right? You'll get that later, folks. He is unqualified and unfit to be president. He's not a leader. And if he were not white, he would never have been elected. I mean, this is and the only thing they can do is say they don't agree with her comments, but she stays in place. I'm fine with people expressing themselves in a nonviolent manner, but I'm not fine with a double standard.
No. So I guess what you and I think, and other conservatives would say is, had they not fired Curt Schilling, we probably aren't on the air together right now.
And, yeah, we wouldn't be talking about it.
No, we would not at all. And that's the problem. There is the double standard. And we can't silence one side of the street. And it's okay for Jamel to feel as she does. That's okay. I had lunch with a group of people yesterday. Not everyone agreed with each other's position, but we shook hands, got up, and left the lunch table. But that's not the case in the media world right now. And if you've got a platform and you express yourself in a conservative manner, you're in trouble.
Craig, I played high school sports. I tracked college sports a little bit when I was in college, but, you know, went on to do other things. But look, folks in disproportionately, and correct me if I'm wrong, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but especially when you get to football and even baseball, people that track that and participate in that are disproportionately conservative. A lot of conservative people are involved in sports, right?
Yes. Yes.
And so, I mean, this is a viewpoint that that she expressed would be offensive to some, to many. The viewpoint that Curt Schilling expressed in his Facebook post about the lampooning the genderless bathrooms in North Carolina. A lot of people laughed at that. A lot of conservatives that track sports think that's a crazy idea, as do most Americans. But yet they fire him. It's clear that they have a bias that runs liberal.
I'm not sure that I have not seen this. I've heard this, but I've not tried to verify that the TV ratings are down a little bit in the NFL. I know it's a very popular sport, but there are, to your point, a lot of conservative fans out there, and I do believe as many or more than the other side, and many of those do not agree with what Jamel Hill said and would side with Curt Schilling. But those folks, if they don't watch and they're not seeing that Ford commercial and going and buying that Ford pickup truck, that's going to get the attention of the NFL and someone else. But until we get to where there's a true conservative big platform for all of us who believe as we do, mm-hmm. then we're going to be at a disadvantage. And so back to what you said earlier, Tony, yes, most of the time you're talking about things on Capitol Hill. This should be one of the paramount topics on Capitol Hill, freedom of speech. But we can't have freedom of speech to bully and defame and slander people.
Absolutely. Folks, you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Craig James, former New England Patriots player and sports commentator. You mentioned the NFL and the declining numbers in it. I mean, when they're dissing the national anthem in America, I think that's part of it. I think their numbers are off. The last I saw, and they were losing some mm-hmm. money. Because they're taking this same anti-American bent that our previous president was doing. And now we have a president who loves America, stands up for America, and he's being savaged as being a white supremacist and, everything else they're saying about him. But, you know, I'll tell you what, folks, the one thing that's good about it, he is not caving. And it's amazing he continues to stand in the face of this. Craig, you've been on the inside of sports as a player, commentator. I mean, you've seen it pretty much from every angle. That what you just touched on just a moment ago, the dollar, is that what speaks in professional sports, the dollar?
Absolutely. And I think that the NFL, the attention of the NFL has been gained by the conservatives in the sense that Colin Kaepernick, who is kneeling and he's the chief behind all that, he's not on a team. That's a controversial guy. And I think more people in America, far more people in America, believe that he should and every player should stand and honor the national anthem. Therefore, Colin Kaepernick is not playing and he's not on the team. So I think the voices can be heard, but it's a slow process. It's the process that you do on a daily basis. It's the other conservative outlets that are out there beating the drums to maintain our freedom to believe as we do. And we just can't stop the beat.
And the best way, as we've talked about, you've talked about many times, the best way to protect that freedom, which is fundamental, it's essential freedom, it's the first freedom, freedom of the religion, freedom of speech, freedom to assemble, is to use it. That's how we preserve it.
Well, it is. But, you know, it goes back again to the companies that control the media and what's going out there. The narrative is controlled by the Googles and the Twitters and the Facebooks. And when I got out of broadcast, I wanted to be verified, the little check that says, yes, this really is Craig James. Well, they didn't want to verify me, did not verify me. Why? Because I'm talking about my love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they don't want that kind of guy out there talking about a limited government and low taxes and freedom and free markets. So there's a censoring that takes place, and despite that, we can't give up, and we continue to fight the battle and for the things that we have been provided for by those before us.
The worst thing we can do is grow silent or throw in the towel. We can never quit. We have to be persistent in proclaiming truth no matter what the opposition may be. And Craig, my friend, you've consistently done that, and it's great to hear you again. Thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you very much, Tony, for having me, and thanks for what you do.
All right. Craig James, great American. Find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. And let me tell you, folks, when they did, Fox Sports did that to him. And again, nothing he said on the air, nothing he ever said on the air, something he said in a speech as a candidate for the United States Senate from the state of Texas. Somebody pulled that up from a speech, and as a result, Fox fired him. He took action. He sued Fox, as rightfully so. But he didn't back down. He continued to fight. And we all need to continue to exercise our freedoms and so that we might preserve, protect, promote, and pass on those freedoms to the next generation. All right, a lot still to come here on Washington Watch. Terry Jeffrey with CNSNews.com joins us next to talk about it's an infamous milestone, the United States government reaching for the first time, the mark of $20 trillion in debt. How much higher is it going to go? Are we going to see some reforms? We're going to talk about it with Terry Jeffrey, and also Dr. Frank Turek joins us to talk about Truth Conference 2017 and your phone calls still to come. Don't go away. We're back with more after this.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? Our founding fathers knew that God's transcendent truth must be the foundation for all law. Since the early 20th century, however, truth-based rule of law has changed dramatically in America. The progressive era ushered in big change, shifting our standards to make it appear that truth is ever-evolving. America's founding fathers determined truth from a fixed source, God. But progressives determined that truth originated with man, thereby making it possible to change the truth in order to fit shifting cultural opinions and to undergird the power of those elected in office. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston reveals the importance of truth founded in God and the consequences of moral relativism. Is truth fixed or is it subject to change? The future existence of our free democracy hinges on answering this question correctly. Go to frc.org/decay to learn more.
In America, we face a media onslaught against the Christian perspective. It is now seen as anti-cultural and invalid. Dr. Michael Paulson, a law professor at the University of St. Thomas, talked about how Christians can respond intellectually. Dr. Paulson has researched common arguments against religious liberty. For example, religious values are no different than ethical values. Dr. Paulson argues that the law should give religious exemptions because of the perspective of a religious person who necessarily believes in God as an ultimate source. Religion is different and necessitates a different kind of devotion. Moreover, the Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom of exercise. The Christian perspective is one that is not outdated, but still present and still valid according to the Constitution. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. A candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. A senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discusses the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. All right, last Friday, in just one day, the national debt jumped over $317 billion, topping the total debt of the federal government at $20 trillion for the first time ever. $20 trillion. With us now is Terry Jeffrey, the editor-in-chief of CNSNews.com. He's been crunching these numbers. He's got a big, big calculator. Terry, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
Well, despite the fact that we've seen record revenue coming into the federal government this year, we still have been running deficits, and now we've reached this ominous milestone of $20 trillion in debt. How do we explain it?
Well, we're spending a lot more. We're taking in record tax revenue, by the way, Tony. The government is taking more money from the American people in inflation-adjusted dollars than ever. But we're still running deficits on a month-to-month basis, spending more money than they bring in. And there's this trick that the Treasury...
Let me stop you there, Terry. That's even with the uptick in economic activity, the growth we're seeing. We're getting record revenues. I want people to understand that. Record revenues coming in, but it's still not enough.
Exactly. In fact, just this afternoon, the Treasury released what they call their monthly Treasury statement, and it did, in fact, show that in the first 11 months of fiscal 2017, which is October through August, there's a record federal tax collection, $2.957 trillion, but they turned around and they spent $3.639 trillion. In fact, the White House and the OMB, the CBO, are anticipating that before the end of the year, which is in just a few weeks, on September 30th, the government will spend $4 trillion. That'll be the first time in the history of the United States that the federal government has spent $4 trillion or more. And because of that spending, even though they're collecting more taxes than they ever have, our debt is skyrocketing, where, as you said, last Friday, it topped $20 trillion for the first time.
And when, if I recall correctly, when Barack Obama became president a little over 8 years ago, it was right at $9 trillion, correct?
I think it was about 10, a little over 10, but
okay.
he added more than $9 trillion, the federal debt. He didn't quite get it to $20 trillion. I think he was trying. But, you know, there's this trick that the Treasury plays. I talked about it a little bit in my story, and it's just bizarre. It's legal. Congress allows them to do it. You know, they do what Trump did last week in his deal with Pelosi and Schumer, where they, quote-unquote, suspend the debt limit. But then when the suspension of the debt limit ends, in this case it's going to happen on December 8th, the last time it ended on March 15th, rather than say when that limit is suspended, as it was last March 15th, when the suspension ends, okay, you got to stop borrowing money unless you deal with the fiscal situation, the Treasury takes what it calls, quote-unquote, extraordinary measures, which means it has all these accounting tricks where basically it acts like it's taking money out of the civil service retirement fund and so forth and using that to pay off the debt, when in fact the Treasury is continuing to sell notes and bonds and bills to the public, including, for example, to the Chinese, and using that to fund our government. They're just not accounting for it. What happened on Friday when Trump signed the new debt suspension, they put all that back on the books, and the debt jumped in one day by $317 billion.
Amazing. So let me see if I can explain this in such a way so it's very clear what's happened here in the last, even preceding Barack Obama, to be fair, in the last couple of years of George W. Bush with the stimulus spending, that we've raised the spending of government, so-called to get, you know, address crisis, but those levels have remained, and it's more than what we can take in to cover, and so that's why we're running these huge deficits.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you know, we had the, some people call the Great Recession, which hit in December of 2007, lasted till June of 2009, ended very early in Obama's administration, really before his stimulus took effect, but he jumped up the overall level of federal spending with his stimulus. That trailed back a little bit, but not permanently, and we're spending more money. This Republican Congress is spending more money than Barack Obama ever did. That's the simple fact of it. And when President Trump signed that continuing resolution deal to fund the government through December 8th, he continued things on the basis of the 2017 CR. He funded, which means all of the programs that President Trump called for ending, including terminating funding for Planned Parenthood as long as it does abortions, all those things continued under that CR. So after September 30th, when this fiscal year ends, and we start a fiscal year that is totally the responsibility of an entirely Republican Congress and a Republican president, they will be funding Planned Parenthood, they'll be funding the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the National Endowment for Arts, the Legal Services Corporation, the Overseas Private Investment Corporation. All of those things are funded under that deal.
So, bottom line is, the Republican Congress, Republican administration assumes ownership of the Obama spending priorities that he put in place his last year in office.
Exactly. And the truth is, there's no way they're going to end these things unless they're willing to get in a fight with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. You can't make a deal with them to end these things. They're absolutely committed to these things, and they're committed to big government. And they're committed to the entitlement programs in the welfare state that are really driving the growth of government. And it's a shame because the Republican leaders understand what's happening to the country fiscally. They just don't have the political courage to deal with it. And when President Trump was running as a candidate, he talked about it. For example, he told Sean Hannity he was going to insist on a balanced budget in relatively short order. But he came out with a budget which is excellent in calling for things to end, but didn't balance for 10 years, same as the Republicans. And if we don't turn this around, if we don't balance the budget and stop borrowing money, we will bankrupt the country, and there will be an economic disaster that falls on the heads of our children and changes the economic nature of America for our children, and that will be our moral responsibility because we allowed it to happen.
Terry Jeffrey, thank you so much for joining us. As always, great to talk with you.
Thank you, Tony.
Thanks. Hey, to read his article, go to TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. Folks, he's absolutely correct. You cannot sustain this level of spending. It was the bailouts under Bush, stimulus package under Obama. It's got to be dialed back. Don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch after this.
Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers. The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Tony Perkins, the website, TonyPerkins.com. I'm going to talk more about the fiscal issues here in just a moment, because it is immoral to spend money that doesn't belong to us. And I know that we've gotten on and, you know, we've gone on and on spending this money that we don't have and nothing's happened. You know, the sky hasn't fallen. Well, folks, you reach a point, it's unsustainable. In fact, I would argue, given not just the debt, but the unfunded liabilities we have as a country, we're at that point, maybe beyond the point. But we'll talk more about that. Now, I want to talk about an event we've been discussing coming up. We're just a couple of days away from the Truth Conference 2017. It's happening this Friday evening and Saturday at my home church, Greenville Springs Baptist Church, right outside of Baton Rouge. And with us now is Dr. Frank Turek. He's a speaker, award-winning author, and president of CrossExamine.org. And he's one of our featured speakers at the conference. He's a former naval aviator. He has a master's degree from George Washington University and a doctorate from Southern Evangelical Seminary. Frank, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Great. Tony, it's always great to be with you. How are you doing?
I'm great. Looking forward to having you in Baton Rouge on Friday for the Truth Conference. I think it's going to be a great gathering, and I know you've got a lot of insight to share.
Well, we're going to be talking about how to prevent 75% of young people, Tony, who leave the home, leave the church. How can you prevent that? I mean, 3 out of 4 of our young people brought up in church, once they go to college or get out of the house, they walk away from the church. And one of the reasons they do that is intellectually they don't know why Christianity is true, because we've never told them why it's true. And at this conference, I hope to do that. And I know you have other speakers as well, including Alex McFarland, Lauren Green, Dr. Abraham Hamilton, and some guy named Tony Perkins, too. He's going to be there. I hear he's
good. Cameo appearance. this is when you talk about the young people that, we say they're leaving the faith, walking away from it. This information that you'll be sharing and Alex will be sharing, not just for the young people, but this is stuff that that mature Christians need to know. They need to know how to defend their faith. They need to know why they believe what they believe, and they need to be able to give a reason for the hope that's within them.
Absolutely. If we're going to be ambassadors for Christ, we need to know why we believe what we believe. And not only that, if you do have a young person in your orbit, I know this sounds maybe unlikely to be true, but it is true. Teenagers still are most influenced by their parents.
Yes.
So parents still have an impact on their kids. You don't want to just give your kid a book and say, hey, kid, read this. You want to know the material yourself and go through it with them.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
That's the opportunity we're going to give people this weekend right down there in Baton Rouge, actually in Greenwell Springs, as you know.
Yeah, so folks, if you live within driving distance of the Baton Rouge area, you can still be a part of it. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over, or Truth Conference 2017. And, you know, hey, bring your teenager, bring your young children, whomever. I mean, this stuff, there's going to be something there for everyone. We've got some breakout sessions on Saturday, different tracks to take. Frank, I want to ask you a question. You recently responded to some skeptics who cite that the biblical accounts of Jesus have inconsistencies. And this kind of stuff, you know, causes Christians just to clam up. But you don't clam up. How do you respond to that?
Well, I would usually ask them, what do you mean by inconsistencies? If you're saying that, okay, say one gospel says there was one angel at the tomb and another gospel says there were two, I'd say, well, that's great. Now I know they're eyewitness accounts. Why? Because they obviously didn't get together to collude and say, let's get our story straight. But eyewitnesses always have differences on the details. They always agree on the major issue. Hey, there was a death and a resurrection. They may disagree on how many angels they saw at the tomb or who got there first, but that doesn't negate the bigger issue, Tony. The bigger right. issue is that Jesus rose from the dead, and everybody agrees on that. Everybody who's writing about it agrees on it. Do you know, by the way, that survivors of the Titanic had two different stories on how the Titanic sank? Some said it broke in two before it sank. Others say it went down whole. Now, does that mean that we can't agree that the Titanic sank? No. I mean, obviously, everybody right. agrees the Titanic sank. They may have disagreed on how it sank, but everybody agrees that it sank. The same thing is true with the resurrection. Everybody agrees there was a resurrection. They may emphasize different aspects of the details regarding the resurrection. By the way, I would argue they're complementary, not contradictory. When one gospel says there was one angel at the tomb and another says there were two, the first one doesn't say there was only one. He simply mentions one. Just like if somebody were talking about this radio program right now and saying, one person said Tony Perkins was on Washington Watch, and another person said Tony Perkins and Frank Turk were on Washington Watch. Nobody would say that's a contradiction. They would say they're complementary. The second gives more information than the first. But in any event, the main issue is that they're telling the truth. They're eyewitnesses, and they agree on the major issues, and they may have different emphases when it comes to the details.
Right. I mean, look, as a former police officer, when I worked a traffic accident, I interviewed the two drivers and maybe a witness on the side, and guess what? I got three different perspectives.
That's true.
But the reality was there was an accident. And, you know, you put all the pieces together, and that's what the police officer did, and he came away with a full investigation. I mean, that's how it works.
Let me say one other thing about this, Tony, and we're going to talk about this Friday and Saturday at the Truth Conference in Baton Rouge, right outside of Baton Rouge. But this is going to sound heretical for just a minute, but stick with me. Christianity is not true because a collection of documents called the Bible says it's true. Christianity is true because an event occurred, the resurrection. That's the point. The resurrection occurred, and now we have the book resulting from it. So right. The book didn't give us the resurrection gave us the book.
And the evidence is there, and we're going to talk about that Friday. Dr. Frank Turek, look forward to seeing you on Friday.
God bless you, Tony. Thanks. Same here.
All right, folks, check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. And join us this Friday for the Truth Conference 2017. All right, I'm back after this. Going to be taking your phone calls. Don't go away.
Are you worried about the moral direction of America? Do you feel powerless to make a difference? Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. Established in 1983 in Washington, D.C., Family Research Council conducts research, develops policy, drafts legislation, and educates policymakers, pastors, and the grassroots. It testifies before Congress and shapes public debate through the media and internet. Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about Family Research Council, please visit us at frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news. Again, that's frc.org.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As Senior Director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Hear Mr. Arnakis discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion. If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, talking about a number of things today. Going back to our first story, Jemele Hill, ESPN, went on a rant Monday night against President Trump, among other things, calling him a white supremacist, bigot, most ignorant, offensive president of her lifetime. And if he were not white, he would have never been elected. That's pretty amazing. Anyway, we're seeing this long string of this stuff. We were talking about with Craig James, he himself fired from Fox Sports, not for anything he said on the air, but for something he said 18 months earlier as a Republican candidate for the United States Senate. Curt Schilling posting something on Facebook, lampooning those pushing for the genderless bathrooms in North Carolina. Clearly, sports, and of course we get into the whole national anthem fiasco, clearly the sports is taking the side of the political left. The NFL, let's just focus on the NFL for a moment. I mean, they're losing money. Ad revenue is down. So this is the question I have for you. With the increasing left-wing political bias of the sports world, is it driving you away? I know we've probably got some really hardcore sports fans out there, but, I mean, is it driving you away? Is it causing you to turn to other pastimes? Now, for those of you who listen frequently, you know that, by the way, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. With the increasing left-wing political bias of the sports world, is it driving you away from professional sports? Is it causing you to turn to other pastimes? I want to know. Give me a call. 866-372-7234. And I was preparing to say that for those that listen on a regular basis know that it's not causing me to turn away because I never watch the stuff to begin with. I am not a sports fan. So it's not affecting me, other than it's irritating, as Craig James is a friend Kurt Schilling. I've been on his program. He's been on my program. And I do not like the inequity, the bias. I can live even with, like, Jamel Harris making a Hill. Hill making these. See, I don't know anything about these sports people. Why? I mean, even if she wants to do that, you know what? I guess I'm okay with it. I mean, I think it's disrespectful to the president. I never did. Maybe thought some things about President Obama. Never said anything like that. Only cited what he actually did. But you know what? Hey, I'm fine with free speech as long as it doesn't incite violence and you know, they're not engaging in violence, okay? And obviously, I think it's got to be, you know, somewhat civil. But it's the double standard. It's that some speech is okay, other speech is not. Some speech is protected because of its ideological bent, while other speech, because of its ideology, is not. See, that to me, that is un-American. You know, if anything, sports, football, baseball, supposed to be all about America. Baseball, apple pie, and mom. Well, not anymore. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Pam in Arkansas. Pam, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony, for mentioning the fact that it is a double standard. And it breaks my heart to say that I've absolutely, mid-part of last season, I turned off the NFL because of all the politics in it. When I go there, I want to see a game. I've got things on my mind that I don't, you know, I don't need their politics. I don't want to hear their politics. That is a time for people to go and watch the game.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point, Pam. I do remember when I was in the Louisiana legislature, we had season tickets to LSU college sports, and we would go watch the LSU Tigers. And, you know, you just go and have a good time. You know, I didn't.
And that's
all
it's about. You see, and I do still the high school sports. You know, we live in a small community, and I do still love the game. But as far as the NFL goes, and I've always been, you know, I've always liked the Saints and the Chiefs. But it's over. It's over. It doesn't even matter to me that they have a team that's not got somebody kneeling. It's the fact of the matter is, right, it is the NFL. It is what they are permitting. It is what they fire people that have any kind of right opinion. Okay, if that's the case, and I'm like you, I'm a big believer in free speech. But by golly, we've got a double standard going, and I'm tired of it. Just hush up the politics and let's play ball.
All right, Pam, I'm with you. Throw that first pitch. All right, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Hamilton, Alabama for Dusty. Dusty, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I really want to say that I appreciate everything you do, really get our voices out.
Well, thank you.
One thing that I do that does concern me is that when I do watch an NFL game, or, you know, NFL was, football is my sport. I enjoy watching it. But when I go to watch the game or on TV, I don't want to be bombarded with politics. If I want to go to politics, I want to go to the news or go to work or something like that. But not when I'm trying to enjoy myself and take my mind off of the world, you know.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, that is what entertainment is. You know, of course, in Louisiana, politics is kind of entertainment. It's kind of a blood sport. But nonetheless, I get it. Dusty, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. 866-372-7234, talking about with the increasing left-wing political bias of sports and how they're interjecting it into sports. Is it driving you away? Let's go to Chip in Richmond, Virginia. Chip, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good afternoon, Tony. I am in agreement with you that I would like to watch sports as a release for the joy of it. And unfortunately, it's gotten so contentious one way or the other. And the commentary is not as much about what's happening on the field. or in the stadium as much as it's happening as conversation about some of these other issues. And yeah. It's a shame. It's just we're being bombarded in places that we would just like to get away for a moment or two.
It's like a safe zone. It's like a safe zone away from politics.
Well, I like to go out, spend time outdoors. If I was to walk into a park and then somebody starts getting belligerent about politics while I'm trying to just enjoy the afternoon or being in God's presence in nature, there are places where we should be able to do that. And it's encroaching on those freedoms and that space in ways that I'm sad to see it.
Yeah, I agree. Chip, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. All candor. I don't watch sports. Don't track sports. So, that's why I'll fumble on the names and such because I just don't keep up with it. But I do have pastimes. I like to hunt. I like to be outside. I enjoy outside. But my greatest, some of you might find this humorous, but my greatest stress relief is actually. And I don't get to do it very often. It's just not something I can do very often. But it's riding roller coasters. I mean, that to me is I found that the most therapeutic thing that I can do. Now, what's going to happen when they start, pumping in political messages on roller coasters? I mean, the world's going to be over at that point. I mean, if you can't even escape it on roller coasters, you're in bad shape. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Charlie in Texas. Charlie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Now, Tony, I want to start with a big thank you for your voice and the voice of AFA, and let you know right up front that I'm a conservative, patriotic, constitutional Christian American. Not
well,
necessarily
thank you,
in that order. to key off of your rather benign question, I'm with you, and you did not steal my thunder quite yet. I gave up on the NFL. Quite some time ago. I don't get my recreation through TV, and that does include Hollywood and movies and so forth, because they're all going that direction. Mm-hmm. The thunder I want to offer you is talk to Bubba at AFA and yourself and some others and round up the folks from Liberty Institute and Americans Defending Freedom and several others, and let's go after these free speechers who are violating the law, not just with intimidation or with violence, but libel, slander, and those intimidating, threatening things that are against the law to be done. Why don't we sue them? Why don't we bring charges against them in court?
Well, Charlie, I think you're seeing more and more of that. I think it's going to increase because it's gotten to a level where it's not sporadic, but it's regular, where you have the left now trying to silence conservatives in every walk of life. I mean, we used to see it, and we would fight it in the educational realm, where teachers or those in the public realm. I mean, now sports figures. We talked about this earlier in the week, what Dianne Feinstein did in the Judiciary Committee in the Senate. One of the president's, Amy Bartlett, if I'm thinking off the top of my head here, nominated for a judicial post, and Feinstein went after because of the quote-unquote dogma within her, and she's a Catholic. I mean, it's everywhere. You have to hide your conservatism, you have to hide your faith. And this is something that, and I know here I'm pretty much speaking to the choir, but this is the message I take, and I have been taking for a number of years, to our libertarian friends who are not necessarily with us on we come at this from a biblical perspective, okay? I'm not hiding that at all. I come at all of these issues from a biblical perspective. I'm a constitutionalist, but above the Constitution is the Bible. It just so happens that the Constitution and those who framed it, put it together, did so on biblical principles. So those two go hand in hand. They work very well together. The idea that people who have this biblical view of life, of conservatism, somehow have to check that at the door was okay with some in the libertarian world. Oh, yeah, we don't need that morality. Well, they're realizing they're not stopping with religion. They're going after free speech. So this is an issue that every conservative, every person who cares about the freedoms in the Constitution, whether you're a religious person or not, you need to be concerned about this because they're coming for your freedoms next. All right, let me try to work in a couple more calls here. Let's go to Todd in Baton Rouge. Todd, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. I've been waiting to get on your show. I want to know, since when is it my political views have to do with football? I mean, I'm a sports fan. I mean, why should you be worried about if I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat? Okay, if my center is a Republican and I'm a quarterback and I'm a Democrat, are we not going to play on the same team?
Right.
This is ridiculous.
Exactly.
This is ridiculous, Tony. This is ridiculous. And we're in a spiritual warfare battle today in this world. And I don't know if man is ever going to, you know, get over the spiritual battle. I mean, we're waiting for Jesus to come back because that's the only person that can help us.
Well, he is the Prince of Peace, and peace will not reign on the earth until he reigns. What we have is an obligation to continue to stand and speak the truth in love. I do think the intensity of this effort to squash those who hold views, quite frankly, these views are not in the minority. I mean, these views are held by, if not a plurality, a majority of Americans on almost every conservative issue. America is not a liberal nation. Now, the media is liberal, and increasingly we're finding sports and those who are allowed to do commentary are liberal, but America is not a liberal nation. We are a conservative nation. But you wouldn't notice that, or you wouldn't be able to detect it if you just kind of happen to tune into our TV. And here's one thing folks have to realize. And I saw this poll a number of years ago on the life issue where it was a very interesting poll. It's been about 5 years ago. And the poll said about, I think it was like 40% of Americans said, you know, I'm pro-life. I'm sorry. It was like 50-some percent said, I'm pro-life. But they said only about 40% said, you know, I think America's pro-life. So the disconnect was people, they were pro-life, but they didn't think other people were pro-life because of the messages that they heard repeatedly in the media. And that's what this is about. It's about, you know, only allowing one side of the equation, one side of the argument to be heard so that those, the majority, who hold the conservative perspective, say, for instance, that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, feel like they're out of touch. That's what this is about, in making them kind of retreat into silence. So, folks, we've got to continue to speak. Speak up. Look, if you're standing on the side of truth, you're on the right side of history. Sorry, folks, we didn't get to the rest of the calls, but hey, thank you all for calling in today. Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow, and invite a friend to listen in to Washington Watch tomorrow afternoon. Until then, I leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.